bit rusty. Now, I apologise about this. You know, you kind of rely on technology these days, and you get here and you reboot your tablet, and it decides to do a whole reboot, and then it loses all your passwords, and you can't remember your passwords because you've got so many passwords, and I couldn't log into my cloud to get my PowerPoint slide. So I have my computer instead, and I apologise. My wife, I was lucky actually, because the funny thing is that I wouldn't have been bringing my laptop had I not been doing My Friends this afternoon. So, isn't it fortunate how these things sometimes come together and work for us? So today we're talking about peace with God, but I guess in that sense I wanted to look at living in peace. What does it look like for us to live in peace? And I want to ask this question to start with. Is peace possible? Is peace possible? Or perhaps more to the point, is living in peace possible? Is living in peace possible? I mean, you know, we prayed before for Iran. You turn on the news, or you listen to the news, or you scroll the news, however you decide to consume it. And depending on various sides of politics or kind of influences, if you will, or people who might have a say, they'll probably tell you something different around the state of the world, the state of our society, around whether peace is even possible, especially at this certain moment. And yet, the odd thing, we kind of stand in this space where we feel like it's more turmoil than ever, but a lot of research would suggest that we're living in the most peaceful time in history. Especially post the World Wars. It appears that we are in a peaceful state, in a peaceful space. And we also know that for human flourishing, to see both kind of, I guess, the way that we live, not just psychologically or in our mental health, but also our physical health, that living in peace is really important. You can look at any number of research on that. Even the World Health Organization will suggest that. So I wonder, when Paul is writing, and we had it read to us before, when Paul is writing to the church in Rome, what the Romans are feeling in that moment, what the people receiving that letter are feeling in that moment. We know, and I'm sure that you've been going through Rome, so hopefully you're aware, but Rome is kind of like the Roman church, is a bunch of kind of house churches, a network of house churches at that time. And not too long beforehand, when this had been written, the likelihood is the Jews had kind of been kicked out of the city and they'd kind of come back by this stage. But during that period, the Gentile leaders were the ones who would be running those churches. And we kind of have this kind of leadership, this cultural kind of tension, this maybe theological tension that has occurred, that is happening, that is real in that moment. And Josh kind of, last week, I listened to it, Josh, last week did a great job of really getting to the point of asking the question, who belongs to God's people? They were all equal before God, and perhaps, hopefully, we're past that kind of Gentile-Jewish divide that was present at Rome in that moment and in that time, which caused unsettledness, which caused division, which caused conflict for the local church there. And yet we live in a space where we live at the pace of hurry, some would suggest. We live in a time which endorses a comparison, which asks us to look at each other and see who's doing life better. And the problem is not that we're all different, but that it creates a story, a narrative which is unhealthy for us, a narrative that is at odds with peace. And we know that the stories that we tell ourselves become the stories that we live out of. And that's how comparison works. the comparison story, if you will, or comparing with one another just as an example, results in us comparing against each other out of nature, which develops this kind of inadequacy inside us. Or at least perceived inadequacy, that we're not good enough, that we need to somehow strive for something more. And so we enter into this cycle of striving and trying to be more than what we are and trying to earn something from others that we're comparing against. And the result of all of that is that we get exhausted. Just tired. We get tired. And in a psychological way, if you want to look at it from those terms in itself, we miss peace. We struggle to then live with peace. We struggle to find peace. So I said at the start, is peace possible? Is a place of peace that we can find possible, to live with a sense of peace, to live knowing that our peace is already secured in our tomorrows, in our moments, in our todays. In other words, to have peace. Is it possible? And if it is, why is it so often that we feel unsettled? I woke up this morning, not from the strangest dream, but I woke up, my wife and my number two, I'll introduce myself in a second, but my wife had to head off to a netball tournament with my daughters, two of my daughters. And I was in the bed with my youngest, trying to keep her, you try to pretend that nothing is happening out there and that everyone's really asleep, and trying to keep her to stay asleep because they were leaving really early, like before seven, so there was a lot of things going on, and I was trying to keep her asleep, and in doing that I fell back asleep, and for whatever reason we tend to not put alarms on Sunday because we like it to be a day where we just kind of wake up when we're ready. And so I woke up when I was ready. Unfortunately, I woke up late, and so I was in a rush here, and I can tell you, driving here, I did not feel a sense of peace inside me. I did not feel a sense of peace, and I got here and then my computer wasn't working, my tablet wasn't working, and you can see that sense of like, I'm speaking about peace today and I'm not sensing or feeling it in this moment. Well, we're going to dig into what Romans 5 talks to us about. But before we do, why don't we quickly pray again. God, it's easy for us to look around at the world today and wake up in the morning sometimes and look at the news and see what's happening and just feel the turmoil, the chaos, maybe in our own lives, the struggles that we might be in, and to sense that and feel that and to wonder, where is your peace that you've promised us? And so, God, I pray that today, as we spend just a little bit of time reflecting on Romans 5, that letter that Paul wrote to the Roman church so long ago, may you speak through that today. And may we not only be revealed about your peace, but that how we can live in it as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, as Josh introduced me before, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Andy. I'm married to my Rachel, my beautiful wife. There's a few Rachels going around, I've heard. So this is the one that I'm married to. And I have four beautiful girls. My eldest two are at this netball tournament today. My youngest two are with my mother-in-law. We've kind of farmed them out. We're doing all right so far, and I know that you guys have been on a journey through Romans. Who's been here for most of it, by the way? So we've kind of caught up with it. We're digging in. Hopefully, it's been amazing. From the parts that I've heard, and I've heard a couple of them now, it sounds like you guys are really well. I've enjoyed what I've been listening to and getting a lot out of it anyway. So just quickly, if I'm to try and do a really bad job of quickly summarizing where we're up to right now. The Roman Church, Paul presents the Roman Church with this kind of problem being human sin, right? This problem being human sin. And regardless of who you are, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, male, female, wealthy, slave, regardless of where you are in that, this problem of human sin affects us all in the same way. And he goes on to highlight that regardless of who you are, God has given a gift. It's an unearned gift, something that we can't just kind of strive to achieve, this unearned gift. And it's called justification, or in other words, that we can be justified through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And we just took communion and that kind of represented it really well. And Josh talked about that, this solution that we can have. And as you look at Romans 5, Paul is starts off, and again, different translations may have it slightly different, but in mine, the NLT, it says, therefore. And really that's saying, therefore, because of what I've said previous to this, therefore, and then he goes on and says a few things to do that. The big therefore in Romans is probably Romans 12, where it really starts to shift. But here we have a little glimpse. A little glimpse of, hey, I've just said this stuff to you, therefore, and we step into something that he wants to just communicate in this moment. Therefore, here's a lived reality that you can know about. Here's something that you need to know. This is true of you. That because we've been justified by faith, we can live in present peace. Grow through pressure and rest in future certainty. Let me say that again. Because you've been justified by faith, Paul is saying. Therefore, because you've been justified by faith, we can live in present peace, grow through pressure, and rest in future certainty. So let's unpack this. Romans 5, 1 to 2, just quickly. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Did you hear that? It's not something that we achieved. We've heard this over and over and over again in Romans, right? And you'll continue to. It's not something that you have achieved. It's a gift. I like what Jesus says. If you want to quickly flick over to John 14. And you're welcome to flick over to John 14 if you want. John 14, 27. One of the Gospels. This is in his kind of last period of time on earth. He's just about to be crucified. This is right at the point in time when he's kind of washed his feet, the last meal, the supper, and he's having a conversation and talking around the Holy Spirit more broadly. But Jesus says this same word around peace here. In John 14, 27, he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. It's separate. You won't find it regardless of how hard you strive. Regardless of how much you compare, you won't find it in this world. It is separate. It's different. It is a gift. So don't be troubled or afraid. It's like a little glimpse almost, I feel like, of what Paul's talking about here. Most people live our lives comparing, evaluating, judging the way in which other people are living. Having a conversation, maybe some might refer to it as gossip, I don't know, about others. They live trying to accept, earn acceptance from others, whether it's a family member, maybe it's peers, maybe from society. And for some of us, I reckon we also live trying to earn acceptance from God. I wonder if that's been true of you at some point in your life. Maybe it's true of you now. But both Jesus and Paul here is saying that this is just not the case. This peace that Jesus has given is a gift. It's undeserved. That's the very nature of a gift, right? It's given to us. And as Paul said, this peace with God is because of our faith. So we don't have to live in conflict, in trying to earn something anymore from God. We can stand in this gift, knowing that it has been given, if we have faith and belief. And I don't want to, I don't know where everyone's at, so I don't want to assume that you have all chosen to follow Jesus. We're not going to do a straw poll or anything like that. But I want to say that if you have not kind of made that decision yet, if maybe while you are taking communion, if you're taking communion, or maybe you're sitting there reflecting and you let it go by, I'm not sure. But I want to say that that gift is here for you today. It's free. There's nothing you can do to earn it, to deserve it more. It's an invitation that Jesus has offered us all. So peace received means that we don't have to fight for peace from God anymore. We can live from it. It's been done and it's been given. We're no longer at war with God. He has done the work and he has given the gift, and we can choose to live from that place. Let's continue on in Romans. Romans 5 again. If you flick back, if you're in John at the moment. Peace formed. Peace formed. Romans 5, 3 to 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. I don't know many people who run into a problem and a trial rejoicing. But it says here, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and the character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. We can rejoice in our sufferings. My third daughter, number three, she's now, oh geez, I shouldn't have said I'd tell you her age, eight. When she was about 6 months old, or actually earlier than that, it was actually at this time of year, it was around Easter, we were away for Easter, and we found just something that seemed a little bit odd when we were changing her nappy. She had hyperflexibility when she was born, and so they kind of kept on looking at her hips, kind of worried that she would end up with hip dysplasia and a few other things. And so we just thought, I don't know, you know, if you're a parent, sometimes you think something just seems wrong here. I don't really know what. So let's go to the doctor. So that's what we did. Longer story short, I won't go into everything, but we ended up with some scans to check out the hip dysplasia. The person doing the scans were like, oh, listen, there's nothing here. It's all fine. But you know what? We've gotten through this so quick. I've got some extra time. Do you want me just to scan some other organs? Sure, why not? Okay. I don't know why, but sure, why not? In doing that, we actually found that there was a growth in her kidney. Undetected at that point. So that was a miracle in and of itself. You very quickly in our country, in an amazing way, get whisked into our health system. It's like a machine. Once it clinks and starts cranking and getting going, it just starts to move really fast. Some of you may have experienced it before. I remember not long after that, sitting in a room with about, they'd put her under a few times and done some different things and scans and stuff, and sitting in a room with about five different surgeons and doctors, all, you know, very smart and so on, telling us essentially the two options that we're going to have to go with, both involving chemo and various other things. A lot of prayer going into all of this, right? And we're sharing this with our community, because we live within our community and we try and live out our faith authentically there, and just sharing it as we go, and you know, we kind of continue moving on, prayer answered left, right and centre. She ends up getting her kidney removed, and that was all that she needed in that moment. Incredible journey. What was unbeknownst to us at the time, and the reason why I want to say this, is because there was another couple who we'd met at kinder. Didn't know Jesus, and they had a child who was the same age as my eldest, and she had all these kidney issues, and she was in hospital a lot, and she still is today. But in that moment, they came over to us, and they just said, like, can we catch up? I'm sure, what's going on? Well, this is our situation with our daughter, and we're kind of lost and broken and all of that stuff. But we've been observing you guys as you've journeyed, watching how you're going. And they said, we don't know what it is about you, but you have some sort of peace about you, and we just want a piece of that. I used peace interchangeably there. See what I did? We just want some. We can't put a finger on it. We don't know what you've done. What is it that's different? And it was in that moment that I realized what they were talking about. And in some ways, it reflects a little bit of what Paul's talking about here. It wasn't that we weren't going through troubles. It wasn't that we weren't finding hardships. But it's that it was forming this peace and building this peace inside of us as we lived it out our faith authentically in our community. It was seen. It was visible. Because suffering, Paul's logic says, suffering can lead to endurance, which can, if allowed, shape our character. And I want to just put that in there because it doesn't mean it will. How often do we try and fight it, push it back? But it can shape our character. And when it occurs, and this occurs, then it's going to deepen our hope. And that's what our friends found in us, whereby they, by the space of this world, trying to find answers, were left broken. We're left hurting. We're left wondering what is going to happen. Why is this happening? This is so unfair. All those questions. We found ourselves in a place of peace. And I can say that in that moment when our daughter was having surgery, and we had a Frenchman who was doing the surgery, and I still recall him coming to me, and he looked at me and he said, and he looks at his hands in the only French way a surgeon can say, don't worry, these hands are the best in the world. But in that moment, what I heard was God saying, it's okay, I've got her. She's in my hands. And in that time, that next hour and a half, which was meant to take about 3 hours, my wife and I went to a room at the hospital and prayed. Some others came and prayed. And then we moved out and we actually went and had some food. And we felt the most amount of peace probably we've ever felt in that moment. I can't really describe it. But knowing that our peace was not only being formed in that place, which we can look back and see, that when we feel like we're breaking, when it feels like it is hard, when it feels like the struggle is there, that it's not wasted, but it's actually building us. But also knowing and coming through that time because we knew our peace was secured. Our future was not fragile. And this is what the rest of Romans kind of talks about. Our peace is secured because it's based on what God has already done for us. It's not something that we have earned. It's not something that we've chased after. It's not something that we can kind of get. It's while we were still sinners, while we're utterly hopeless and helpless, at our worst, while we're still in that place, Jesus came and died for us. Undeserved. I mean, in the messages that I've heard, that message has continually been repeated over and over again. Undeserved. Yet Jesus died for us. Unearned, yet Jesus died for us. The Father showed us his great love. And despite this reality, by sending his Son to die for you, to die for me. I mean, that's got to be incredible. I hope it's incredible that you're saved from God's judgment. That you will not be abandoned or forgotten. That your future with God is certain. It's not even certain, it's guaranteed. And that gift is offered to everyone. So our future is not fragile. What peace secured means is that the God who justified you will never fail you. He will keep you. So, I started off. Is peace possible? Is living in peace possible? And Paul, I think, makes it clear. Or I hope he's made it clear to you today. That we're invited into living peace that can only be received. This peace is possible, but it can only be received. Not earned. And the invitation is for each one of us today. Your past is forgiven. That's what Jesus says. That's what Paul is saying. Your present is being formed. Right now, the stories that you tell yourself, that you live in and out of, the world that we're a part of is shaping and forming us. And our future is secured in Jesus. The question is, are we wanting to receive that gift? Do we choose to receive that gift? Because the key to living in peace is not about avoiding pressure, avoiding the stresses of life. It's not about comparison. It's not about the life circumstances that you're a part of. And can I just say, we just prayed and there were some significant life circumstances that people are encountering and engaging with and having to navigate through. That peace is not reliant on any of that. It's secured in Jesus. I want to just read Colossians 1, 19, and I'll just read a couple of verses. And I think this summarizes it again. You know, Paul writes a whole lot of letters, and he kind of keeps on repeating some of these little kind of elements that we find in Romans as well. But what I want to say to close here today is on the one hand, I want to be really honest and say, I don't know whether you have accepted Jesus into your own life as your Lord and Saviour. And I want to give you that invitation today to say, He came, He died for us while we were broken, while we didn't have peace, while life was hard. He saw you and He came and died for you. On the cross, which is what we remembered here and Josh talked about earlier. And then 3 days later, He rose again. And He invites us into that same life. And in Colossians 1:19, it says, "For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." This includes you. This includes you who were once far away from God. The invitation is for all. So if you were once far away from God, the invitation today is to accept that gift of Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, there may be some of us who have been a Christian for a long time. And so I want to continue reading. "You were His enemies at one stage. You were separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He's brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firm in it. Don't drift away from these assurances. If you have been following Jesus for a long time, my encouragement to you today is that this peace is still for you. You have this peace. It is the gift that has been given. It can't be taken away. It's, are you going to live in it and from it? Or will you forget it in the busyness of this world and fall back into those ways? So my encouragement for you, if you are following Jesus today, is to renew that choice to live in and out of this peace that God has with you already. And be reminded that in all things, your past is forgiven, your present is being formed, and your future is secured in Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank You that we can gather today. Thank You for this time that we've been able to spend together. I thank You for Your Son, Father, that You sent Him at just the right time to die for this world, to die for us, and to rise again so that we may have new life and relationship with You. So that we may experience and have peace with You, God, knowing that our past is forgiven. Knowing of this future hope that we can live our life every day with. And so, God, I pray that if we are sitting here right now wanting to accept that gift for the first time from You, Holy Spirit, may You can move in us. May You continue to draw us to You. And may we know that it is just calling out Your name, accepting Your gift, and walking forwards with You. And for those of us who have perhaps journeyed for a lot longer, may we experience this peace that You offer us and have for us and have secured with us. May we live from this peace, and may we know that we are at peace with You, God, and that we can live life knowing that this peace will go before us and has secured us. and will continue to shape and form us. In Jesus' name, amen.